All right. Well, here we are for another recording where I am trying to interview different people in the midst of this COVID crisis and also shelter at home orders. My desire in this is to help other people and specifically other Christians to know how they can be praying for other people who are in different areas of the globe, that we can bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Today I have Trent Broussard, and he is a big, well, let's see here. Wait a second. What team is that?
That would be the Arkansas State University Red Wolves.
Okay. And he's a big fan. Arkansas State was a graduate there, and has a son there and another son that's going there, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Trent actually lives in Holland, Michigan, the same city that I live in. Whereas some of the other videos have people in different states, I also wanted to ask some of my brothers in Christ who are ministering in the same town to show our camaraderie in the gospel, our unity in the gospel, and how we can be praying for other churches in our own area. I've known Trent for 16 years. How many 18. Years? 18 years. And Trent and I actually used to minister together at Calvary Baptist Church, where he is still a pastor. So Trent, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll ask you a couple of questions.
Okay. I'm Trent Broussard, the pastor of worship at Calvary Baptist Church in Holland. I have served here since 1996. Been married to my wife, Margie, since 1992. We have three children, Caleb, Andrew, and Josiah, 23, 21, and 18. And enjoying a new strange season like everybody else these days.
And you're, let's see, we talk about Arkansas State. What other degrees do you have?
So I have a bachelor's and master's in music ed from Arkansas State University. And then I have my doctor of educational ministry in Christian worship from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary.
And are you working on another one?
Not yet, but stay tuned. That might come. We're still in negotiations as a family.
But you're not expecting any child.
No, we are not expecting a child.
People who are watching this, it's a joke. I can explain later. So, but it's more directed towards me.
It is, or Tracy.
Right. Anyway, so Trent, you know, obviously we live in the same town, but I want to hear your perspective. We're in different church families, and we have different circles that we spend time with. So, from your perspective, how is Holland, Ottawa County, and how is your church ministry doing?
So first, let me speak into the broader. I think it's a difficult time for Holland, particularly this time of year. Normally this time of year, 250,000 tourists have flocked to town, are spending money on the Tulip Time Festival, eating in restaurants, going to hotels, shopping, etc. All of that is gone. And so I'm not sure when a lot of those businesses are going to feel the hurt from that, but that is coming very quickly. Before the quarantine began, construction was everywhere. Business was booming. You really had to work hard not to be able to find a job. If you wanted a job, it was there for you. With everything slowing down and stopping, it's really hard to know how that's going to pick up. I can't fathom that's going to pick up quickly. I mean, your big box stores are all still open. You can go buy your groceries at a big store, or you can have them shipped to you. And it's interesting to see, I think the population is pretty evenly split on folks who are staying home and having everything delivered, or folks who are just going out and facing the world and what they need to do. And I would say that's true within the church. Many people in the church at Calvary are very comfortable going out, going to stores, hanging out in parks, Others are, you know, they've shut the doors and they are opening them when a delivery lands on the front porch, and that's about it. So odd times. I think there's going to be challenges in the very near future as when churches start to open up, when things start to get back to normal, there's going to be folks who aren't comfortable yet getting back to normal. They're not going to be comfortable stepping outside of the house on day one. And I think one of the challenges churches are going to face is to how to help people on two sides of that coin love each other and be gracious to each other through that. You know, the church, I think, is doing well. Our elders, along with small group leaders and some other group leaders, have been in direct contact pretty much with every church member weekly, connecting with folks, seeing how they're doing. A number of people are out of work. However, a number of them have gotten unemployment, and for some, that's better finances than when they were working. So that is certainly a blessing of the Lord. I think the difficulty for at least our elders is the inability to minister to people who are in the hospital face-to-face. Had a number of people, not from the church necessarily, who passed away, although some, but whose family members have passed away, probably half a dozen over the last 8 weeks. And the ability to, you know, just go sit in somebody's home and pray with them, to go in a hospital room and gather around a family, hold hands and sing Amazing Grace and pray as someone's going on to be with the Lord. That has been a challenge. And it just hurts, when you can't love people in that way. So we call, we Zoom. Very few cases have we actually, gone and broken the quarantine to have a face-to-face meeting. We had an individual who came home from the nursing home to die and had stopped treatments. And so she asked for a pastor. So I went into her home. I sat down with her. I prayed with her. And it's probably one of the most deeply meaningful things that I've done in a long time. All the while, you know, in my own heart, a little bit of fear. Wait a minute, am I supposed to be doing this? Is this the right thing to do? But it was the right thing for that sister in Christ. She needed her pastor. And so we're going to do that. Another situation, I have a gentleman who is in a rehab facility and has been there since November. Let us know, hey, they're letting us have visitors at the windows now. And so went over to Grand Rapids to visit him at the window. Guy who's been stuck in the hospital since November and all of a sudden can't get visitors, can't have anybody come in, and is incredibly lonely. And so the opportunity to touch people in that way is, I think, crucial. So we've been making it. God has been good. You know, the things you think about in church, it's a strange season. So all of our church members, we hope they're watching our service. We assume they're probably watching other people's services. Mm-hmm. On Sunday mornings, I'm watching four or five different church services, including Ventura, seeing what the Dury family is doing, because they're some of my favorite people. And and it's been interesting to see just the wide variety of things churches are doing. For our folks who've been putting together services, we are just recording pieces of a service individually, and then we're putting them all together on one video stream. And so we have about eight people who are gathering on a platform to put music together. And then they do their part and they leave. Pastor comes in, we record his message, he leaves. Whomever's doing announcements, prayers, we record that, then they leave. And we put it all together. And so that's kind of been our process. It is not satisfying like gathering with a group of people on Sunday morning. There is a hole, it is empty, and boy, there's just a deep craving to get back together with our people.
Yeah. So Trent, I'm gonna merge these two questions together. You know, how are you doing, and how can we be praying for you and for Calvary?
How am I doing? You know, the Lord has wired me just to get up and go and to do whatever comes next and not really think about the circumstances. And that's been a helpful thing for me, even in this season. I have had, outside of my church responsibilities, I'm pretty active in the local arts community. I sing with Opera Grand Rapids. I sing in the Holland Chorale. The Chorale has had three concerts canceled. Opera Grand Rapids had an opera, which we've postponed. It was supposed to be performed last weekend. We're going to do Turandot. I actually had a role in that opera, not just the chorus, which is kind of cool, but that's been postponed until late September. And so my normal cadence of busyness has come to a standstill. That's good and bad. It is good in that, you know what, I needed a standstill. I needed some time. I needed the opportunity to Sabbath, if you will, in a real way. I miss singing and performing. I miss my colleagues, whom I have the opportunity to make some fantastic music with, that I'm itching to get back to. From a family perspective, we have a high school senior, a senior who has had his big school music production canceled, his final concerts canceled. This year, he made the Michigan All-State Choir for the first time, and it was canceled. And so it's like everything's canceled, everything he's looking forward to. Prom's canceled. We have no idea yet what they're going to be doing about graduation. And so we are, you know, my heart aches because there's so many things I want for him to be able to do. We also have one of our sons has autism and a lot of anxiety at times, and particularly when he can't do things in his normal routine. His normal routine on a day off is to go to thrift stores, see what VHS tapes have come in, to maybe go to Sam's Club and sit down and enjoy a slice of pizza for lunch. And so little things that he does on a daily routine have all been taken away from him. And there's a measure of anxiety that we have to work through, and we are working through. And so we're doing okay. The Lord has been gracious. You know, the disappointment that my son, who's a senior, has expressed is far less than my wife and I have expressed. It seems to emotionally have hurt us more than it has him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's still looking forward to going off to college next fall and a whole life ahead of him. And maybe he doesn't really know what he's missed out on. Mm-hmm. As a church ministry, we've not been slow in doing a lot of things. And really, the shutdown has been good for us. Our elders, we just transitioned to a new polity situation at Calvary, where we're really elder led, and our elders began meeting in January, and we were meeting every other week, spending a lot of time praying for the needs of the church. Once the shutdown happened and everyone had lots of time, we've been meeting weekly via Zoom, and that has been a tremendous help to just helping build unity within the group. Spending a lot of time praying together. A couple of weekends ago, we brought in a consultant and worked through a 5-year plan for the ministry, including, you know, developing and reworking our mission and our core values. And we're getting ready within the next couple of weeks to roll those out entirely to the church family. But I'm very excited for where we're going in the future and how we how we do the things we believe the Lord has called us to do, and to do them well. And so those are all good things. As far as just how you can pray for us, me personally, I don't rest well when a family goes on a vacation, and everyone wants to relax. I am so not relaxing. I can't sit and be still. I've always got to do and go and do and go, and plan everyone's schedule up to the last minute. That's an area that the Lord has really taken away from me and said, you just can't do in this season. And that I would be content to wait. Waiting is not something I've ever been very good at, but content to wait upon the Lord and to trust that I don't have to have every detail worked out of every plan. For our church family, that even in the midst of separation, there'd be unity, that people within small groups who are connecting, people who are connecting in various other avenues online would still be building up the body of Christ. And I think as well, not only for our church, but all churches, with everyone moving to a digital format right now and everyone being at home, there are a lot of people, I think, who are tuning into church who maybe haven't been to church in years, maybe haven't engaged in a while, and they're watching churches. And so pray that the gospel would be clear and that Christ would be exalted. That's something I've been praying for all the churches I've been watching and thinking about the impact upon people's lives. While I don't think our attendance has grown online versus what it was in person, I think there's some folks who are engaging that have not engaged either ever or in a long, long time. In fact, I know that from talking with even some people whose spouses are now watching church when they didn't come to church before. And I think that's a very good thing. And I'm praying that the Lord would just stir those people's hearts and bring them back into the fold. And if not our fold, into another fold where they can hear the Bible clearly taught.
Yeah, no, I concur with those thoughts too. Thank you for sharing, Trent. That's very encouraging, many of the things you're saying. And let's spend some time. I'll pray for you and for Calvary as we close this time. Lord, you are good and you are great. How amazing that we have and we can know and we do know our God who is great, holy, 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 sovereign, all-powerful, no limits, and that you also are not wicked, capricious, but you are good. That you are working all things together for your glory and your children's eternal good. And so, Father, I even thank you for this time that I can talk with my friend and co-laborer in ministry. And I pray for Trent in particular, that you would grace him continually in the midst of this time to be still and know that you are God, that he would have contentment to wait and to trust that you have all the details, even if he doesn't. Lord, even as things change and morph for the weeks to come and the months to come, I pray still that Trent would not forget certain lessons that you have taught him in the midst of this time. I know, I can imagine how hard it's been for them, even as they've watched their children's struggles. And I pray that you would give Trent and Margie both comfort and the grace to continue to point their children to you in the midst of this. And Father, I thank you so much for how you've even been preparing Calvary and the leadership there for this time period, and that you've used and worked in this time period to unify the leadership of the church. And oh, how the leaders need unity. And I pray you continue to breed that unity, and that it wouldn't just be unity for unity's sake, but that your glory in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit would keep them unified, and that it'll also keep Calvary unified as a people, that the people would build up one another in the midst of this time, continue to reach out to each other, love each other. And Lord, for Calvary and for all the other churches that are going live stream in the midst of this, I echo what Trent says and pray and ask, Father, please, that the gospel would be clear, that Jesus would be magnified, and that people who are watching who wouldn't maybe have even stepped into a church, that your Spirit would make the gospel clear to their ears, and that you would cause them to turn to Jesus for as their satisfaction, as their hope, as their life. They would trust in him and his sacrifice and resurrection on their behalf to reconcile them to you. Lord, you are good. And while we lament in this season, we thank you that we can trust you and that we know that nothing is thwarting your plan. COVID is not thwarting your plan. Mm-hmm. But you are working in this midst. So increase our faith and trust, and we pray that your church in Holland and around the globe would grow in greater maturity in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Trent. I appreciate your time. And
you're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll talk later, friend.
All right, good to see your face. Take care.
Bye.